Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson and available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, be it on YouTube or on your iOS podcast app, because it really helps the show. It boosts us in the rankings. And yeah, we're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson, where we have a bevy of reward tiers, including the best value $5 tier. Right now, we've got 45 people watching the show live and listening pre-show. We do our pre-show stretch, and we talk about desserts.
Yeah.
Well, that was today,
and then we started talking about avocados.
Yeah. And then after the show, we hang out for a bit, and they get to help us decide what's for lunch.
And we'll probably, yeah, both be hungry, and we'll talk about lunch, because I didn't bring anything today for lunch.
I know, so you brought, like, a little thing. What was that little thing?
Oh, it's a side I made a couple days ago that's lentils, peas, and green beans.
You're just turning into a bird.
Lentils are very good for you.
Like, well, I was like, hey, what'd you have for breakfast today? He said some sunflower seeds.
Well, it was oatmeal.
And I just imagine you sitting there with a little dish going.
It was a bowl of oatmeal with sunflower seeds, shredded coconut,
pecking
and blueberries.
Away. I know. You're just going to be immediately hungry. Like by the time we talk about NXT.
Oh, I'm already hungry. But that happens when I eat 4 eggs in the morning, too.
Where can you find Going In Raw merchandise, Larson?
ProWrestlingTees.com/Going In Raw.
That's correct.
Do we still have 11?
I have to send that guy redragon my design.
You
yeah.
Have to do it again, huh?
I have to redesign my dragon. So yeah, we're going to talk about today 205 Live and NXT. 205 Live, I thought, was a fantastic episode.
Yeah,
especially
it was really
that
fun.
Main event.
That main event was great.
Noam Dar is a flipping star in my eyes at this point for his breakup with Alicia Fox. That was masterfully done. I wonder if they gave him a script and he was like, no, I'm good. I got this covered. Because
that felt a lot more natural than a lot of his other promos.
It was the most natural promo he had. And I mean, it's kind of an easy one to cut. It seemed like he was really relishing the opportunity to do something that wasn't so scripted.
The punctuation at the end was perfect, too.
Oh, it was great. We'll talk about that by the time we get done talking about 205 Live. We're also going to talk about NXT. Which was...
So-so,
yeah.
Had one really good match.
The main event?
No, the first match.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, the main event had like one good spot.
Yeah, it was kind of underwhelming.
That was an overhead belly-to-belly.
Yeah.
I'm not huge on heavy machinery. Anyways, we'll talk about 205 Live first. The show opened up with Akira Tozawa.
On the phone with Titus O'Neil.
The thing that bugs me about this... Why is it they never let Akira get a word in with Titus? I understand that I'm pretty sure that it was like a pre-recorded thing that they had Titus doing. Maybe not. They filmed that at SmackDown. So, yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
I
it's
know.
Entirely possible that he could be there in the building.
Yeah.
This happened in previous weeks.
Yeah, that's right. It feels like a Fight Club thing. It feels like Titus O'Neil is simply like the alter ego to Akira Tozawa. And I know it's impossible. It's not going to be the case. But, you know, like it's hype bro. Why don't they ever let Akira? He just sort of nods and does it. He talks to everybody else.
Yeah.
Daivari came in. I thought that was a great segment. Daivari starts talking about Iranian wrestlers and their long heritage of wrestling. And he says, we don't beg for matches. We wrestle with honor, something you don't have, seeing that you kicked the rope at Neville's balls the other day on Raw.
Yeah.
And Akira Tozawa said, don't question my honor. He talked back to him. He said something to him. When Titus is talking, Kira never talks. I mean, I guess he did that time when Neville won at Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah, yeah.
He talked to him then. So there was some interaction there. But still, this is weird. I don't like it. It's not, this is my thing. It's not a normal conversation.
No, it doesn't feel natural.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't just sit there. I know I ramble sometimes, but you always have something to say after I'm done rambling.
Usually.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes, like a hot button topic with you, you just go like this. like that.
Sometimes, honestly, I zone out. When you go on a long rant, I'll just sit here and then you take a break, you stop talking, and I have to catch up mentally before I can respond. That happens sometimes. Sometimes when I know you have something you want to say, get off your chest, and it's going to go for a while, I just let you talk.
Drawing a little eyeball right here.
Oh.
Where are you talking right now?
See?
Anyways, so that led to the first match, Akira Tozawa versus Arya Daivari. Decent enough match.
Yeah.
Neville attacked midway through the match, and that DQ'd, what's-his-face, Daivari.
Yeah.
So Tozawa technically won, but Neville just destroyed. I liked it. I don't know if he was doing this before. Or if this is kind of a newish thing. I feel like this is a newish thing.
Kind of sliding around the ring.
He does the Tamatanga thing.
Yeah.
And that's my favorite thing that Tamatanga does.
That's great.
And now seeing Neville do it. And when Neville does it, when he does it specifically to figure out how to apply, like what angle to apply the Rings of Saturn.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
And he's so smooth doing it.
Yeah. Tozawa really sold the Rings of Saturn great last night.
Yes, he did. He did.
It was a good segment.
Everybody seems happier now that Austin Aries is gone. Well, that's what it said in the Observer. It said that, you know, people like the writers and some of the talent backstage, they, you know, whenever there's a cancer in the workplace, I mean, I used to have like ages ago, I used to have like a job where I would go and work and interact with people, not just you. And
yeah, I too had a job like that at one point.
when there's somebody there, one person can make all the difference.
Oh, I know.
One guy, if he's like a butthead. It's like, man, like coming into work is a bummer without, you know, with this butthead here.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when butthead leaves or gets fired or quits, it's like.
It feels like a relief.
Feels like a new day.
Yes. Mm. After that, we had a Drew Gulak promo.
This was great. He was apologizing as if he was a politician who
for
had
his
some
indiscretion.
Exactly.
Which was him trying to top rope move 2 weeks ago.
Exactly. That was good. That was that scandal for him. Given his platform.
Yeah.
And so, but then he announced that he's going to be taking on Mustafa Ali in a 2 out of 3 falls match. I love this feud.
Yes.
I think it's inventive. I think it's creative. I really like it.
They're really doing a good job of being creative with their feuds, which we'll see in the next
match.
They
are. Yeah, they are. Absolutely.
Especially the next match. I thought
this was cool. This
a really
was a
interesting
really cool
way to
segment.
Bring to build heat between two people without actually them really interacting much.
Right. So Rich Swann took on local jobber Mario Connors. Who had a good look to him. He was a decent
wrestler. He kind of reminded me of, in terms of his ring gear, Shane Douglas.
Oh, yeah, I could see that because he had tassels.
Yeah, and it was yellow and black.
Oh, yeah.
So before the match starts, TJP comes down the ringside, just hangs out by the commentary desk, watches the action.
Yeah. And Rich Swann at first looks kind of concerned, and then he's like, oh, you know, just chill out. It's all good.
Yeah. So it was a decent match. Mario Connors got some offense in.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more than a typical local enhancement talent squash match.
Yeah.
But Swann picks up the win with a Phoenix Splash in about, what, 3 minutes?
3 minutes 49 seconds.
49 seconds, sorry, yeah. Afterwards, TJP gets on the mic and says, that's the best you can do, essentially. I could beat this guy quicker.
I could have beat him in half the time.
Yes, yeah, so he challenges Mario Connors to a match
and
says, in fact, that he will beat Mario Connors, who has already had a match, by the way.
He already had a match. He was gassed. He was exhausted.
Yeah,
but
quicker than Rich Swann did.
But he's a trooper. Lil Nate said, he challenged me. He said, do you want to do this again? Do you want to fight TJP? And he said, I'll do it.
Yeah. And then Perkins beat him in 28 seconds.
I loved that. So Perkins was kind of toying with him at first, like understanding that he totally had the advantage on several levels.
Yeah.
But then the guy tried to roll up, got a 2 count, and then Perkins got pissed off.
Yeah, and gave him a detonation kick.
Gave him a really, really nice-looking detonation kick.
And this was full arrogant, heelish TJP.
Yeah, this was good. He was proving a point
to
Rich Swann. And I think he felt good about himself. So yes. I liked it. Like you said, it was a creative way to keep... Oh, 28 seconds was the time.
To build heat between Rich Swann and TJP.
Yeah, I liked that
and
a lot.
And it's not a heel-face thing, per se. It's
right.
Just, you know, yeah, TJP was heel, but he's kind of on the edge now. He's on the fence between face-heel. He vacillates back and forth, seemingly sometimes by the segment, mid-match even.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
It's good stuff. I think this is a good... You know, you guys probably remember me well... You know, running down TJP back in the day, I said, turn him heel. They turn him heel. And now I'm happy Steve.
Now he's got a real character.
He's got an actual character. He's got, like, motivation and stuff. It's great. And I love the chip on his shoulder. He always mentions that he was the first Cruiserweight champion. And that's something that he's obviously desperate to get back to.
Yes.
He's clinging on to that. Brian Kendrick came out again. as Jack Gallagher. It's so stupid. And I think with anybody else, I would be so over this. But Brian Kendrick, just by nature, is sort of a surrealist character.
Yeah.
And so it works for me. Mm. It's not going anywhere. It's his so
motivation,
stupid.
Or, you know,
there's zero motivation.
His trash talk to Jack Gallagher is completely unmotivated, because I believe Jack Gallagher actually did MMA at one point.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. So to say that he had never fought for anything is ludicrous.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not an expert on Jack Gallagher's career, but I remember them saying at one point that he has some MMA experience.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's... I mean, I guess maybe if Brian Kendrick just never watched the Cruiserweight Classic or 205 Live ever, he wouldn't know about that.
Yeah, it's really thin. You're right. It is really thin. But to get to see Brian Kendrick dress up as Jack Gallagher. And everything Kendrick does, he does full on.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, he's fully invested. You know, like, a writer can give him, like, a half-cocked idea, and Brian Kendrick will at least make it watchable.
The history of Britain was not watchable.
It was weird. It was awful.
Terrible.
I can agree it was awful, but at no point was I so... Like, sometimes during Raw, I'm just like, man, I want to change the channel. At least with him, he's weird enough that I didn't want to change the channel. And I might be alone in that in that opinion. I'm just saying, it's Brian Kendrick. He's a weird guy, and I'll hop on whatever weird train he's on, is all I'm saying. Anyways, they throw down. Jack Gallagher comes out. He defends himself, and he throws down with Brian Kendrick.
Yeah, ends with Gallagher hitting a headbutt on Kendrick. He rolls out of the ring.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we had our main event.
Fantastic.
Cedric Alexander versus Noam Dar in an I Quit match. When, you know, I do think that the feud has gone on a bit too long. However, when you have an ending to a feud like this one, it makes it all worth it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, yeah, we were kind of complaining about this going on too long, and they really need it. But that was kind of the point of it also. Like, by the end, that was kind of the point.
Well, they were referencing how long it had gone on.
Right, exactly. Noam Dar was like, "Why, Alicia Fox, why are you extending this more than it should?" Which is like an almost meta type thing.
Yeah.
And so this was an I Quit match. And so there were, number one, it was a really good match. These guys know how to wrestle each other. The finish was fantastic. There was a couple spots. That spot where Cedric put Noam Dar's hand into the turnbuckle thing.
Yeah.
And started like going this.
That was great.
And yelling at him to quit. Cedric Alexander put in his best in-ring character work I've ever seen from him. This was more... And look, he's good. I like him. I think that he sometimes borderline... He sometimes gets to the edge of being boring babyface guy.
Not this match.
Not this match. This match was fantastic. This is what I kind of want to see out of him.
Well, ever since he returned from knee injury, he's kind of had a little bit of edge to
him. He's had a bit more edge to him,
I agree. There was a lot of edge to him in this match.
Absolutely. And it's not always him. It's, you know, if you don't have much to work with, then, you know, what direction do you take?
Yeah.
This, he had a lot to work with. The I Quit match scenario for these two was fantastic. And it came around to the finish. I'm trying to remember what other spots are where they were asking. Because there's always an inventive spots where they ask.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of spots where it seems like far too often Noam Dar doesn't or isn't given the opportunity to wrestle like he did in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Right,
which is
kind
of the Zack Sabre type style. I think Zack Sabre is one of his trainers.
Yeah.
And so we got to do that a lot more this match. You know, putting him in submission moves, bending joints ways they're not supposed to move.
Right.
That was good. I think the most notable one, apart from the finish, was the one you mentioned with the turnbuckle.
That was really good. And then the finish was Cedric puts Noam Dar's arm into a chair
and stomps it,
and then says, "Do you quit? You know, I'm going to ask you, do you quit?" And Noam Dar says, no way.
Stomps again.
And he says, "All right, I gave you your chance." And then he just starts wailing away, starts stomping away at the chair.
After Noam Dar says no again.
Right, exactly. And then at that point, Noam Dar finally says, I quit. And Cedric Alexander wins. The attitude Cedric was showing afterwards was amazing. When he was asking him, you know, he was saying, "Okay, I'm going to do this again." The intensity there
was
so much money.
After Dar said no the second time, Cedric smiled.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You asked
for
this.
Yeah. Those little things like him it was the realization of all that frustration, and he was playing it pitch perfect, and that's the kind of blow off that I want to see. That's the kind of passion that I want to see on a regular basis from Cedric Alexander, because I honestly think it's, for me, it's him and Neville sort of neck and neck in terms of guys who could easily, when I first heard this on I Quit match, for whatever reason, I thought in my head, oh, loser leaves town match kind of thing.
Oh.
And I was thinking that, man, Noam Dar might go over here and Cedric might bounce up, because I think that he's, number one, he's bigger than most of the cruiserweights.
Yeah.
And he could totally springboard up.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Especially after this performance. I was like, man, 205 Live should not be his ceiling. Like, I want to see that strap on him.
Yeah.
But I want creative to keep on giving him things like this.
Oh, exactly.
That
yeah.
can work for him really
exactly.
well.
I mean, ever since the Cruiserweight Classic, I've been saying Cedric Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
He probably has the most potential
in terms of his
as a heavyweight.
Yeah, in terms of his in-ring ability, absolutely. I just hadn't seen it in his character.
Oh, watch the match he had with Kota Ibushi.
No, I know
it's
that, but
there.
That's different. That's totally different.
No, I know. But in terms
if you have a story that you're being given, can you run with that? The story that they told was amazing in the Cruiserweight Classic, but there were a lot of really good stories in the Cruiserweight Classic,
yeah.
And that's a one-time limited deal. You need to do that on a regular basis, and I hadn't seen that since the Cruiserweight Classic, and that was the problem.
Yeah.
So I could see him going up to Maine, like, easily, but mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the course that
they
want to
plot with
these guys.
That was one of the things apparently Austin Aries was upset about, was if you're on 205 Live, you're on 205 Live.
I still maintain, dude, you know this.
Oh, yeah, patience. I know.
Things change every day. How old is Cedric? What is he, 31?
If he's that old.
Come on, internet. Help me out here. Never mind. He's 27. There is a lot of time left.
Oh, yeah.
There is a lot of time left.
I know.
Left.
I mean, I, to a certain degree, I understand Austin Neri's perspective. He's getting up there in years.
Well, he's old.
And, you know, he... I don't know. He obviously thinks very highly of himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if he thinks he's not getting the value from his work mm-hmm. that he wants, then okay.
Well, yeah, that's fine with him. People don't like him, then good for them.
Well, yeah, that's the downside of it, is that you're not well-liked.
I mean, maybe if he was like a super nice guy, he can go in there and say, look, man, everybody loves me. Hook me up. Give me the main roster. And they're like, well, actually, you're like 4 feet tall, so no. Let's see here. So let's talk about... At this point, I love how he transitioned from saying, I quit. Cedric leaves.
Yeah.
And then Noam gets on the mic and starts saying, I quit. Even when he says, I quit you.
Yeah.
Talking to Alicia Fox.
Yeah.
And then he launches into this thing where he starts talking about, he says, at 22 years old, I signed my first WWE contract. At 23, I am the youngest roster member on Monday Night Raw, the youngest roster member on 205 Live. He says, you're crazy if you don't think I have a woman on every continent and in every city. I thought it would look good for me to have Alicia Fox on my arm coming into 205 Live. I used you. And it was very reflective of when she originally broke up with him.
Yeah. Well, then he said, you're more trouble than you're worth.
Yeah, exactly. He said, get to jogging.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before. That's great. I wish I heard that back when I was single. Get to jogging.
Nah, and then he says,
they would have said that to me.
And he says, we're done, Alicia.
And then drops the mic.
Yep.
Oh, it was great.
Good. Really good.
It was fantastic. That was like one of my favorite breakups ever. That was
really
fantastic.
Good.
And she brought out some tears.
Yeah.
She had some real tears.
Yep.
That was great. Good for her.
Great segment. Great 205 Live. Good show.
Yeah, man. They're bringing it these days, man. Even,
yeah, they really are.
Look, you have to admit, this is weird. The Brian Kendrick shit's weird. At least they're trying something.
If that's the low point of the show.
I know, exactly, you know. Anyways, let's move on to NXT. Kicked off with the best match of the night.
Oh, yeah.
Aleister Black. Did they have the opening title sequence?
Yeah, it was all there.
They did?
Yeah.
Because I know they opened up with a video package.
Oh, you mean for the actual show?
The actual show. They opened up with a video package of Gargano and Ciampa, and then I swear, I literally watched it like twice.
Yeah, I guess not then.
And I might have not been paying attention both times, but man, I swear they didn't do the resistance.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. I don't remember it either.
Anyways.
Yeah, because they'd like, the show didn't just kick off. Because it had that package,
mm-hmm.
and then there was something else, then the match.
Yeah.
But that's something else. I don't remember being the opening graphics.
Well, I know they cut to commentary table.
Yeah.
They're talking to them.
So anyways, first match, yeah. Aleister Black versus the debuting Bobby Fish.
Yeah, of Redragon to Dragon again.
And for those who have read up on the spoilers for the latest round of NXT taping.
Okay, so spoiler alert, if you do not want to know about NXT spoilers.
Skip ahead like 30 seconds.
Skip ahead 30 seconds. Kyle O'Reilly debuted at the NXT tapings. And so now all of Redragon to Dragon again.
Has a chance to Dragon again at NXT. End spoilers.
Okay.
Yeah, this was a fantastic match.
This was a real... I can't get enough of these Aleister Black matches, dude. I can watch him fight anybody.
I know. In every match, they're slowly bringing new aspects to his character.
Yes, exactly. They're unveiling his character through the in-ring work.
I'll be honest. The one thing I don't like is the moonsault flip he does because he doesn't grab onto the ropes. I don't want him to hurt himself.
Oh, I know. That freaks me out because it's just a showy move, and if you're going to paralyze yourself on a showy move, that's not good.
Yeah, no.
When it doesn't do any offense.
Well, no, not just the flip into the where he goes into the seated position.
Yeah.
But he does a moonsault off the second rope. And, I don't remember.
I know what you're talking about.
He did an offensive move.
Yeah, okay.
Out of that, but still, he didn't grab. Like when Jericho does the lion salt, he gets the second rope, grabs the top rope, makes sure
what
he's
happened
steady.
To Hayabusa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Aleister does not do that.
Yeah, that's a loose rope away from
or a slip.
Yeah, slip away from damage. No, I agree with you on that one, but it adds to the edge.
Oh yeah, man, it looks great.
Oh, I love him so much. When there was that one moment, I think he smashed him with a kick or something, and Bobby Fish was down on one knee, and Aleister Black like leans down and smiles at him and glares at him.
It was a very subtle smile.
It was very subtle. There's nothing like overblown about him, but man, he's great. God damn it. So much money in Aleister Black.
You think they're going to hold off on having Rue drop the title till Survivor Series weekend to drop it to Aleister Black?
Okay, so they announced that Damo and Drew McIntyre.
Yes.
Something tells me that. Sanity ended up attacking Drew McIntyre. That might have been at the new tapings, though.
No, that happened. That happened.
Did that happen on the thing?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't see either of those guys. I see Drew McIntyre losing, but not because he wasn't good enough. Number one, do you think they're going to circle back around to Roderick Strong?
I don't know.
He's got when I noticed I don't know if he was crying. I can't tell. They did like some backstage Roderick Strong stuff.
I meant to.
Maybe that was before the match.
It could be where he went backstage with his fiance and his mom and said, "I was this close."
And
to
I think
winning.
He was crying, but I just feel like when Roderick Strong smiles, he looks like he has cry face going on. I love that match was so good.
It was really good.
I love Roderick Strong. It's just he looks like an HR guy. Totally, it looks like a fantasy football guy.
Yeah.
Hey, you got your fantasy football sheet? Yeah, man. I told you. I don't know. Are the Dolphins any good anymore? Just give me your sheet, dude. Okay, here.
And the answer is no. The Dolphins haven't been good for a decade.
They're still crap, right?
Yeah. Still,
I thought did they have a good
they're
season?
They're mediocre.
Didn't they have a good season last year?
Mediocre.
Okay. Better than 500?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Mediocre.
All right. Anyways, Aleister Black went over Bobby Fish. Oh wait, we'll talk about the. We'll talk about that during the title scene during the Bobby Roode segment.
Okay.
Aleister Black went over Bobby Fish with a neck. God damn it, I love that black mask. It is so big. And especially when he digs up their head with his foot. He digs up the head. And Bobby Fish did a great job of this. He holds on to his leg as he's coming up. And I've seen other people do it, but Bobby Fish did it so good. Bobby Fish is really good. He comes up with it. And he just gets murdered.
Yeah.
Murdered with that black mask.
Yeah,
I fucking love Aleister Black.
That looked like it could have hurt.
Oh, my God. That was so good. He hit flush.
Yeah.
Dropped him. And what did a... And Nigel, number one, I also like this. Nigel did not rip into Percy at all.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder if they realize that it's awkward as shit when he does that.
Yeah.
Because Percy never, like, fires back. Percy seems like just a happy guy to be there. And then you got this British guy. And I love Nigel McGuinness. Nigel McGuinness used the term... Sack of spuds.
Yeah.
Instead of sack of potatoes.
Yeah. So that's how we describe Bobby Fish selling the black mask.
Yeah, it was great. So Bobby Fish loses his debut match.
I don't think this reflects at all on what they have in store for Bobby Fish. I think it reflects entirely what they have in store for Aleister Black.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. However, in terms of Bobby Fish as a singles competitor, I think it does reflect what they have in mind.
Short term, yeah.
Short term, and I think if they bring in a special friend of his, which we've already talked about in our spoiler segment, then I think that's where he's going to find his success.
Yes, at least short term, yes.
Yeah, I mean, dude, there's way too many singles. We talked about this. Way too many singles guys.
But I can't imagine if they were to bring in his friend.
Yeah.
Who has had some pretty good success as a solos competitor.
Yeah.
That at some point he would not want to be a solo competitor again.
Well, when you say short term, then you mean for like 2 years.
Well, I mean a year.
Dude, they're not going to split. They're not going to bring those guys in together and then split them up after a year.
Why not?
Why would they? If they're a successful tag team.
Well, yeah, there's mitigating circumstances, yes. But in a year, Bobby Roode will not be there, probably. Aleister Black won't be there, probably.
If they Dragon Again, dude. If they do that, Dragon Again is going to be a tag team in NXT just long enough to win the belts off of the Authors of Pain, and then they're headed straight to Maine.
I don't know. I think War Machine's going to take those belts off of Authors of Pain, if anybody.
Wouldn't that be a hell of a match?
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
that'd be so great. Good. Hey, if that's the case, then To Dragon Again is heading up to Maine way before that. Then.
Could be.
Because that's a tag team. That's a tag team that's been around for a while.
Which is maybe I was thinking that maybe they would not want to be all in on a tag team again. Like if they go
Redragon?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my thing is this. As everything is in the WWE, they figure it out as they go along.
Yeah.
I would imagine they're probably going to put them together at first, see where it goes, and then figure things out from there.
Yeah.
I would just, the singles, especially like on both main roster and, you know, SmackDown, Raw, and NXT.
Oh, there's so much competition already.
Yeah.
There's less competition in the tag divisions. I understand that, especially on NXT.
I mean, Ty Dillinger has a hard time getting on friggin' TV. Mm-hmm. You know, what are they going to do? Anyways,
there was a lot of segments on NXT last night that were apparently on WWE.com.
Mm.
So a lot of the episode kind of felt like, I don't want to say filler, because if you hadn't seen it on WWE.com, you probably hadn't seen it.
Right.
Nonetheless, it wasn't necessarily exclusive to this episode of NXT. For example, there was a backstage segment between Cassius Ohno and Hideo Itami.
Yeah.
Where Itami was telling Cassius it was his fault that they lost the tag match against Sanity.
Yeah.
And Ohno was frustrated and had enough.
Cassius Ohno can read any dialogue and be convincing.
Yeah.
But the interaction between these two, they don't really have very good chemistry together. Like Hideo Itami says, it was your fault when clearly it was his. Why didn't Cassius Ohno at that point? Like, you need to write dialogue that makes sense.
Yeah.
And Cassius Ohno just said, he stopped, did a dramatic pause. He did what he could with the dialogue. And he said, you're always blaming other people. Like, if it was me, I'd say, what are you talking about? You didn't tag me in. That's a natural thing to say.
Yeah.
Like, figure your shit out, Hideo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, that's probably headed for Brooklyn.
Oh, definitely. That's going to be, yeah.
That's going to be Brooklyn.
Yep.
That'll be a great match, too.
Yeah, I know.
It'll be a good one.
Looking forward to it.
What'd you think about the street? Hold on a second, man. No.
What?
On your notes, you called them profits. It clearly said profit as in money.
Sorry, I missed that.
The Street Profits. Let me ask you something. So they were roaming around Full Sail backstage or just roaming around the concourse, I think.
Or the Performance Center, one of the two.
Yeah, one of the
or
two.
Both.
And there was a guy in the background who took issue with them being there. Was that a shoot or a work? If you say a work, you're a fool. That was a shoot.
Yeah, the whole thing felt like a shoot. Like that part where they're talking and the car alarm or whatever goes off.
Yes. There was still like it's God damn, what are their names? It's who are the Street Profits now? I knew both their names.
Yeah, me too.
All right, we're gonna look them up. Street Profits NXT. Here we go. It is the team of Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins.
Okay,
yeah.
Angelo Dawkins has had a few matches on TV.
Oh, he's been around. Yeah, he's been around good. For a while, yeah. And I've heard good things about Montez Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I liked this. It was silly. It was cool. It was like shot again. Their version of the backstage segment is there is the iPhone vlog style. And it was like the lights were out, so it was like extra like grainy and stuff.
I know. And there's like the last part of it was really quickly edited, and there's all sorts of crazy looking stuff going on.
This is gonna be. They might be our going in Raw wrestlers of the year. Like if this keeps up, there's some guy in the background saying, "Why are you guys? What you guys shouldn't be here." And they're like, "You shouldn't be here."
Yeah, but it was like they're standing from an elevator or something, and there's like an alarm or something going off somewhere, and they stop.
Yeah,
I mean their chemistry together is great.
I know exactly. I love that shit. That's great. Anyways, let's see here. We've got next up, Patrick Clark comes out wearing a woman's blouse. He's leaving Full Sail and he gets accosted by InterviewBot 2.0.
Yeah.
He's the one that he talked shit to before and he didn't recognize her immediately. He thought she was a fan.
Yeah.
And says, "I don't give autographs." And she's like, "No, I'm interviewing you." She's like, "Oh, I remember you." And he's like, "You think this is the place to conduct this interview?" And he's like, "Try again." And he walks off. He saunters off. This guy is an oddball. He's freaking hilarious,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, he is.
He's so weird. He's got a crazy-looking body, too.
Oh, like, I know.
Man, that dude.
He's young, too.
Oh, is he?
He's
young,
like 22
dude?
Or something like that.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah, he's super young.
How old is Patrick Clark? Oh, my God, he's 21.
21.
Gee, willikers. Man, that is young. He's good, though, man. I like
next.
Him.
Next. Vanessa Bourne versus Jamie...
Hashi? It was a Mae Young Classic qualifier.
Yeah.
I did not recognize either of these people.
Nor did I.
I didn't know which one was a Performance Center person or... which one was like an indie wrestler that we're bringing in. I'm assuming Vanessa Bourne was an indie wrestler they brought in.
I think both of them are.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think so.
All right. Because
they said Vanessa Bourne used to be a cheerleader for the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, no kidding.
Which I can kind of tell based on some of her mannerisms.
Okay.
And then Jamie Hashi.
She was a bodybuilder?
Fitness
person?
Competitor.
Competitor, yeah. So bodybuilder.
And then she did something else too, they said.
Not the cleanest match in the world.
No.
But
Vanessa Bourne has some personality.
She went over.
Her finisher was interesting. It was kind of like a cradle powerbomb looking thing.
Yeah, I like that. That was good. But yeah, kind of a messy match. But that's okay.
Vanessa Bourne advances. She is amongst the field 32 for the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah, so it should be good. Have they announced Candice LeRae for that thing yet?
Not yet.
Man, what the
heck?
That's
a huge missed opportunity if they don't get her in that.
Yeah, no kidding. I feel like there's a lot of missed opportunities for... Like, I mean, I'm not the most well-qualified to say what female competitors should be in this thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of the names they're announcing, I'm like, really? Why wouldn't they put somebody in there who's, like, more well-seasoned?
They kind of did that to a certain extent with the Cruiserweight Classic. There were some people that hadn't been wrestling very long in it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a lot of young people in that. I know.
I mean, they got Rachel Ellering. They got Tessa Blanchard.
Yeah.
A few other...
they have Toni Storm.
Yeah. Tony Storm's great.
I think Nixon Newell is going to be in it,
but
I think she has an ACL injury.
She blew out her knee, yeah.
Yeah. That's a bummer.
So she's out. So I don't maybe rather than have Candace in the, assuming that she wants to do work with NXT, rather than have her in the tournament, they're just going to debut her on NXT. I don't know.
Yeah, that could be. I don't know.
She's great.
No, she's fantastic. She'd win the whole thing. Let's see here.
That
then,
could be another reason is if they might have someone clearly in mind who they want to win.
They don't want Candice to lose, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sanity attacked Drew McIntyre in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Alexander Wolfe was laying on top of his rental.
Yeah.
And Drew said, "Get off my car." And then Alexander Wolfe laughed at him. And then they attacked him.
Yeah, and then Alexander Wolfe took a seat in like a little cafe area and was like trash talking him.
Then William Regal and Bobby Roode backstage.
They just seemed like they were hanging out.
Yeah, I know. This didn't seem confrontational.
There was nothing contentious about this interaction whatsoever.
Exactly. In fact, Regal ended up taking Bobby Roode's suggestion.
I know.
Because Regal said, the undefeated Drew McIntyre and the undefeated Damo both are looking at that championship.
Yes.
And Bobby Roode says, well, why don't we put them against each other to figure out who will fight?
And then Regal says something like, well, you just want them to fight, so they fight.
Yeah, so they hurt each other.
Yeah.
And he says, well, everybody wants this match. And Regal said, very well, they do.
So, next week, for the number one contendership for the NXT title, we'll have Drew McIntyre versus Big Damo.
I felt like literally before they said cameras were rolling, they were just back there joking around.
I know, right?
And as soon as cameras stopped, they went back to joking around.
Because they both had half smiles on their faces. You know those guys love each other. They're great. I love William Regal and I love Bobby Roode. Anyways, so that should be fun. Let's talk about this real quick. So, next, I don't know the spoilers for this.
Okay, I do.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. Takeover, are we likely to see Bobby Roode versus one of these guys? Takeover Brooklyn?
Well, I mean, there's spoilers attached, so I got to say spoiler alert.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be Drew, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Is this the first time that Sanity's can? I get mixed up. Is this the first time Sanity's confronted Drew? I forget now.
Me too.
In any event, I don't know if I don't see them taking the belt off of. But I feel like this is to get Drew's claim for the title out of the way, mm-hmm. so he can go do something else, and Bobby Roode can keep the title.
Yeah, I feel that way too.
And then maybe take on Roderick Strong again. They have to look at that match from last week and say these guys are a takeover match.
I wonder if they're going to take a Sami Zayn approach to Roderick Strong.
Yeah, that could be.
Give him a couple opportunities before finally, you know, getting the belt.
What if at the Survivor Series takeover, Aleister Black takes it off Bobby Roode? And then at the, like, Mania takeover, Roderick Strong takes it off of Aleister Black. He gets up after he goes up to main after Mania.
Could be.
I could maybe see that happening. Yeah. Survivor Series, maybe Bobby Roode's in the Rumble or something. I don't know.
Well, they always have to have the rematch.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they can do it on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Next. So, yeah.
Johnny Gargano came out for the first time since Tommaso Ciampa turned on him.
He looks so lost. That should be, I determined, that should be his gimmick. He should be obsessed with Tommaso Ciampa, the man who hurt him.
He very much wasn't, though. He said he was ready to move on.
Yeah, I know.
Which I don't think is true.
Yeah, me neither. What do you think about his new music? He debuted his new music.
Oh, at the end?
At the end.
I really didn't get a good gist of what it was. I know there was a woman vocalist.
Yes, yeah. Or it was one, you know, sometimes these days they've got like a male vocalist who sounds a lot like a woman.
No, I remember something like the singer spoiled the fact that she was doing.
Oh, no kidding.
Before Takeover.
Oh, okay. Like so 2 weeks before band, Takeover. It's just like a.
Well, just the woman that sang on the song. I think she tweeted something. So it's just probably sang for Johnny Gargano's new theme song.
So it's probably like, what are they called? CFO. But then could they get that chick to. Okay, because I think they did Aleister Black's too. But they just got some dude to do the.
Oh, no. Aleister Black's theme is from a band.
Is that from a band?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I believe so.
No, it isn't.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's on my phone.
Oh, okay. I thought someone said to us that it was.
Someone lied.
Well,
they lied.
Shows what I know.
This is SETI Alpha 5. Anyways, what happened next while I look this up?
Oh, next, main event, Heavy Machinery versus Authors of Pain.
Man, I
like Authors of Pain, but I think their matches... CFOs. Okay, their matches work better against... We were listening to a little bit of a Kevin Nash Shoot interview. Where he's talking about
nerds.
Wrestling against Bob Backlund, and Kevin Nash said, I think my matches are better when I wrestle people that move a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the case with Authors of Pain too.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, they hype this up to be a big hoss battle. Nobody has matched up physically with
Authors of Pain.
This is kind of confusing. You know how like the Authors of Pain, they'll start barking out words. You know, they'll be like, ah! One guy is from the Netherlands and the other guy is from Canada. What language are they speaking when they're barking out their words? Because it never sounds like it's English.
Well, I mean, I guess the guy from Netherlands could be speaking Dutch.
Yeah, but it seems like they're barking at each other.
I don't know.
Maybe they don't care. They're just like, you're barking, I'm barking. They look a lot alike. It's weird that they found two guys from like very disparate places.
Yeah.
That look so much alike. Like, was that just fortuitous? Did they just show up at the Performance Center? Holy crap, are you guys like related? Are you guys cousins or something? No, I'm from Netherlands and he's from Canada, so no, it's not possible. Well, we're going to put you together. Like, are the Ely brothers? Are they actually brothers? Or are they from like different countries too? They literally look like the same person.
Question, man.
They literally look like the same person. Pretty sure they're twins. Right? Weird, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. They bark. They talk.
Yeah, I don't know.
They yell things.
I don't know, man.
I don't know what language they're yelling in.
I don't either.
I mean, there's, I don't know. It's weird. What language? Do Authors of Pain speak? Oh, five important things you need to know about the Authors of Pain. From Sportskeeda.
Here, carry on.
Okay. I'm not huge. You know what Heavy Machinery just totally reminds me of? 1995 WCW.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Right down to their singlets.
I'm not into that. At like Tucker Knight, tell me he doesn't look like, what's that dude's name? Bognar, the fake Razor Ramon?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He looks exactly like him.
I like Otis because he's got some unique energy.
Yeah, I know.
And
but here's my problem with it. It's like cuddly teddy bear Hoss energy.
Oh, I know.
And I'm not huge on that. I don't want that in my wrestling, man. I like the Authors of Pain. They're like evil. They're so good.
Yeah, they're great.
Paul Ellering is so great.
I know. Yeah, I know. Heavy Machinery just seems
dated.
Yeah.
They seem dated. And yeah. Then I don't, I honestly, I mean, okay, so they do, they're better wrestlers than wrestlers in 1995.
Yeah. And that, that overhead belly to belly was great.
Oh, that was a spot. That was a spot of the match. That was just an overhead belly to belly.
I know, but you know, from
it's impressive.
Yeah,
it's impressive. I get that.
Otis moves really well for a guy his size.
No, he does. They're good. Don't get me wrong. They're good.
I just don't. Their packaging and their characters. Yeah, as you said, seems dated. Yeah, I don't know.
So Brian Whipple says here in chat, they're both Albanian, but one grew up in the Netherlands and one grew up in Canada, according to Google.
One is Albanian. The other one is, I think, of Indian descent.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's interesting. So they're barking at each other in the same language? Or no? We don't know. We don't know.
Yeah.
One is Albanian. One speaks Punjabi.
Yeah.
Apparently. Wow. Interesting. So, but one grew up in Canada, and one grew up
in,
okay,
in the Netherlands. Yeah.
All right. Interesting.
So, I guess it's gonna be a mystery.
I guess so.
Which language they
next
speak
next time
to each
we
other.
Go, we'll have to ask them. Excuse me, Mr. Ellering. What are they talking about? Anyways, yeah, Heavy Machinery. I don't know. It's gonna take a lot for me to get on the board with them.
I kind of feel like they should wait at least 6 more months before giving them this opportunity.
There's nobody else. I agree, 100%. They should have had somebody else at the ready.
Yep.
Because there's nobody else. This was way too early.
Yeah.
Nobody thought they were gonna win this match.
No.
Nobody thought that.
Especially not at a TV taping.
No, they don't do that anymore at TV tapings.
Especially not at TV taping. Yeah. Who are Authors of Pain gonna face at TakeOver? Is it gonna be War Machine? TM61, Shane Thorne should be coming back sometime soon.
They should be ready to go soon.
Yeah.
But they haven't. No, they did their last batch of tapings.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I don't even remember if there was a. No, who's going to be? We found out at the end of this match.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Yeah, Sanity came down. That's right.
Yeah, it's going to be Sanity.
How long do you think Authors of Pain are going to be stick around at NXT? They're ready yesterday.
Yeah.
They were so ready.
I mean, they were ready a month after they debuted.
Yeah, I know.
I would guess till Mania next year, because it seems to be that's when they're bringing people up. It's the day after Mania.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not unheard of to bring people up sooner. I mean, we still need to know who attacked Fashion Police. It's not the Authors of Pain.
No, it's not. It's weird, though. It's Authors of Pain are going to Raw. Well, I don't know. They got the club over there. They need to turn the club face. They'd be over his faces.
Yeah. Team up the club with Finn Balor.
Yeah.
That'd be huge.
It's a freaking no-brainer. I love Chad to death. Oh, man. So Sanity came in and laid out the Authors of Pain at the end.
Did they? I don't think they attacked. There was all that paper falling on them.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
On top of the ramp.
And the commentators had to explain.
That it was.
I was thinking I got some spoilers from the tapings. That's what happened.
It was pages from the Book of Pain or whatever.
That's what Mauro told us. Nigel, they were very awkwardly telling us what was happening.
Yeah, it really needed to be explained because I didn't get it.
I'm glad. Usually you're on top of that stuff, man. I was like, I am so lost. I was like, what is that? Oh, is it possible? Those are the pages from the Authors of Pain's book. What is it called? The Book of Pain?
I think so.
And I'm like, wait a second. Those pages are blank. I don't see any writing on those.
No,
pages.
There was something on them.
Was there?
Yeah, I think.
Where
so.
Can I get their book then? Where can I get their manuscript?
I don't think it's available. I mean, I think Paul Ellering needs to self-publish.
Yeah,
if he wants to be released,
it's going to be on Kindle exclusive. And then Morrow's like, "Oh, they're eating those pages, Mamma Mia!" And Percy was just confused as us. He's like, "That's not on my program. Where are you guys getting this information from?"
Yeah, it was not the most
Alexander. Alexander Wolf started hesitantly putting one of those pages in his mouth. Then he realized like just how dry and it is. And Nikki Cross was all like egging him on and stuff. And where was Eric Young? Was he the one above? Like,
no, I think this is all taped at the same time when Eric Young, right after his mother passed away.
Oh.
So I believe he was gone for that whole set of TV.
I like the idea of Nikki Cross being kind of the number two, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's sort of in front of him. Mm-hmm. The one, yeah.
Well, she's been behind them. You wouldn't be able to see her because she's shorter. So she needed to be in.
Well, no,
for another reason, she needed to be in front.
She wasn't on the side.
No, I know. She was in the middle.
It could have been like little,
I understand.
Big, bigger.
No, but no. I think in terms, well, also, I mean, also in terms of leadership, yes, but in terms of aesthetically pleasing shot.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Nobody wants to see
her
little, big, and then bigger.
You need her in the middle.
They want to see big and then in the back and then little in the front.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you on that one, dude. Let's answer some questions. Mm-hmm. Connor Dunmore, you're casting a Batman film, and you need to pick an NXT superstar to play Batman. Why do you pick Bobby Roode?
Andrade Cien Almas.
Shut up. That's a good one. That's a good one if they did like a Latino Batman. That'd be really good. Or just regular Batman. This is 2017. Patrick Clark. No, Patrick Clark is the Joker.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be good.
That'd be good.
Because he's already Prince. How about Damo as Batman? That'd be Eric Young.
Well, it'd be Bobby Roode as Bruce Wayne, Eric Young as Batman.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, Drew McIntyre, obvious choice for Batman.
That'd be good.
Yeah, it's good, huh?
That'd be real good.
Who can Alistair? Could you imagine Alistair Black as the Joker? Oh, that would be good.
Yeah,
that'd be creepy as shit because he wouldn't laugh. Mm-mm. Like you're supposed to be the Joker.
I was like
when they do those social media shout outs, like last night they did a social media, the Twitter video of Aleister Black, and they filmed like with the iPhone from down below.
Yeah.
And he's like Full Sail Arena back there, and he looks down and he says, "Bubby Fish, you have faded to black," or something like that. And it's just cheesy because, you know, there's like students walking around, you know, what are they doing over there? Is that like a, what are they doing? What are you doing? Is that like, are you practicing for theater arts?
I know. Is this your senior project?
He's like, it's cold out here.
CM Punk finds it insulting. It's been rumored for a while now that WWE is planning a women's Royal Rumble match. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Who would you book to win it so that it feels just as important? He would have Asuka debut in the women's Rumble, win it, have her eliminate 13 people to break Roman Reigns' record and go on to face Charlotte WrestleMania for the women's championship. What do you guys think? I mean, that's as good as any, I guess.
That's a great way to debut.
And if
Asuka.
Not Asuka, then Charlotte.
Charlotte faces Charlotte at WrestleMania.
No, Charlotte wins the Rumble.
I like that. Let's see here. Power rankings. Top five Steven Larson. Oh, this is from Liam Wagner. Stingers or catchphrases, both from Going In Raw and 10 for the Win. Dude, there's been so many.
I know.
There's been so many. I mean, the very first episode of 10 for the Win.
Your spine.
All right, let's try this. Power rankings.
Oof.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Your spine, number 5.
Number 5?
All right, fine. Number 2. There's got to be something better than that.
Where's Fashion Police go?
Oh, man, yeah. Fashion Police, number 4. You're erect at number 5.
I find it funny. What's number 1?
What's the thing we've done the most? Today it was... Today it was I like cream pies.
That was before the show started.
I prefer cream pies. Totally unintentional.
Was there a running gag we had on 10 for the Win? I feel like there's probably a lot of them.
There was a lot of them.
They're escaping me at this moment.
I mean, the Targeted and Walmart are like, but it's not really a catchphrase, is it? It's not really a stinger. I mean, if you want a stinger,
how about
cap.
about you bullshit.
Oh, that, you know what? That's a favorite of mine.
Yeah, I like that one too.
You,
oh, number one, stretch.
Oh, you're bringing it current. I like it.
Yeah.
Our best work is now, people.
Yeah.
But you bullshit is good too.
Yeah, you bullshit is good.
You bullshit.
You bullshit should be on there somewhere.
Yeah. I just like that you'd always get the stick and like shoot threes.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
That's the modern NBA. You get the ball, you shoot a three.
Yeah, it is. But if your character's not attributed to do that.
That's why I kept on telling you, just attribute up his outside shooting. You want to be a well-rounded player.
And, yeah, I know.
And waste time trying to score inside.
Mid-range jumper.
If you're a guard, you don't go inside.
Jordan said the mid-range jumper,
it's
everybody should have
it. It's the least efficient shot in basketball.
Yeah, but if you have it, then you're
modern
the best.
Analytics. Get with the times, Steve. Evil Larson. So I've been thinking about the NXT roster a lot. So many on that roster are being groomed for a call-up. Is there anyone in NXT that you look at and go, NXT is his ceiling? You know they're not going to Maine. Will spend their whole career in NXT. He sees Noé José and Tino Sabatelli.
This is a good question because he has kind of a point. Like, has there been anybody? I mean, NXT has been around for a while. Has anybody either straight up been released out of NXT?
There have been people released out of NXT, yeah.
Yeah, there's been plenty. There's been, what's that dude's name? Marcus Lewis. Mm-hmm. Marcus Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Bull Fit. Mm-hmm. He washed out of
Sammy
NXT.
Sammy Callahan.
Yeah, that's a good point. What about lately, though? Like, who's the longest, who's been in NXT longest, and not like Asuka, who's like a champion? Who's been around for a while?
I think Tino Sabatelli's been there for a while.
Yeah. His ceiling is like NXT house show circuit, seemingly. That's a possibility. He's not going to be going anywhere. No way José will come up eventually.
Yeah.
He's too much of a hand and he's too much of a character not to go up eventually.
Yeah.
But his ceiling's going to be super low when he gets there.
Well, Tino's been in NXT since 2014.
Okay. Yeah. Well. What position did he play?
Safety.
Oh, right. Was he any good?
He was okay.
Yeah. Probably made a lot of money.
Was yeah, he drives
3 years?
Maserati or something. At least he did in Breaking Ground.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody now there that could wash out. Like, I could see them, and it would be a total bummer, but them not knowing exactly how to handle Oney Lorcan. Although he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
He's such a good hand.
Mm-hmm.
But that could be a mutual thing. Maybe he's like, hey, you know what? I made kind of a name for myself here. I can make a lot of money on the indie circuit.
Because
NXT doesn't pay very well.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Ben Aberley. I thought this week's episode 205 Live was the absolute best in many weeks. It was very good. I hope you agree. My question is, after that great I Quit match in the main event, what do you think is next for Noam Dar, Cedric Alexander, and Alicia Fox?
You think Alicia Fox is done with Noam Dar? I hope so.
I hope so,
too.
That
breakup felt like a face turn for Noam Dar.
It did. Well, not really. When you... No, I don't think it was.
Leaving some of the crowd was popping for it.
I know, but the whole thing about he has women everywhere.
Well, that's not a face thing? You prude?
Not
that's
in
a
the
total
context.
Face turn.
No, not in the context of, I think, what he was doing. I think it was supposed to...
No, I know. I
establish
agree.
Him as an even greater heel.
I agree. I know. But it might be difficult for people not to pop for him after it.
Potentially, because the performance was so good.
I know. Next for Cedric Alexander.
I could see him being after Akira Tozawa to go into a program with Neville.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I was thinking that too. I think he might actually be the guy to take it off Neville.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
But no, Amdar, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Maybe something with Mustafa Ali once he's done with Drew Gulak.
That could be.
I'm trying to think of other faces.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or maybe he'll go on. I don't know. Gene the Grappler, do you see more guys leaving 205 Live like Austin Aries or more guys to fill the roster to boost ratings?
I don't know if people are going to leave like Austin Aries, but they're going to get to a point where... Like Neville,
left to do.
Well, like Neville right now, who's having a huge breakout as a heel,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a ceiling for that character on 205 Live.
Yeah.
It'd be great if they said, okay, this character's, you're doing such great work, we're going to bring you up and have you fight heavyweights again.
Well, it'd be great if they were able to establish a new dominant heel to be a foundation for the division, and then Neville can go. Because you need, like, he is a very, very strong aspect of 205 Live. Like, he's a foundational piece.
Yeah. But yeah, no, they would have to groom someone to take that spot. Yeah, I know.
But I totally agree.
But from a talent standpoint, if you get over huge, do, you know, get the show over, and then they say, okay, well, your program's done, mm-hmm. back to the mid card.
Yeah,
that's gonna be a bummer.
No, I know.
Without the promise, I mean the promise, the prospect of doing stuff with, you know, members of the heavyweight division.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends. It all depends on what the wrestlers want and what the WWE wants. And if they're all on the same page, then great.
Yeah.
But if they say, hey, you know, you're in 205 Live, make it the best you can because you're going to be here a while. You know, some wrestlers are going to be like, cool.
You know, they'll be up for the challenge.
They'll be up for the challenge.
And I'm guessing with Austin Aries, when he signed with NXT, 205 Live wasn't a thing.
Yeah, I know.
He thought he was signing on to eventually come up to the main roster. Mm-hmm. If that wasn't going to happen,
yeah,
he probably thought, okay, well, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
I've got a book to promote.
CM Punk finds it insulting. He said, top power rankings for 10, we'll do 5, Patreon names that tickled you guys the most. Oh, man, I don't know.
That's tough.
It is tough. Penultimate, Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, that's a weird one. And he gave us that title, the H title.
Yeah. There's been a lot of good ones that made me laugh.
I like Jason the Cabbie, just because it's his vocation.
It's what, yeah.
It's what he does. His
name's Jason. He is a Cabbie.
What was the one I like? Eater of Fruit Bray Diet.
Yeah, that one's good.
That's
too.
Up there.
That's good. Yeah, I'm scanning through some of the people that ask questions as well. There's a lot of good ones. It's hard to...
I know. Like, we say some of these so often, I just completely forget.
I'm just trying to think back of the times when you were reading off new pledges and I would laugh.
Oh, yeah.
But, it, you know...
There was one spell of, like, a lot of Charlies, but I'm pretty sure that was the same person trying to scam the system somehow. Like, they would pledge and then de-pledge and then pledge whenever there was, like, a live stream.
Oh.
But, I mean, I didn't really notice that, like, a lot, so I was like, whatever. Okay, congratulations. You're scamming the system.
Two-time Philadelphia Flyers champion Jake Riley. What is a more likely scenario? Asuka losing the NXT Women's title to whoever wins the Mae Young Classic, or Asuka vacating the title to enter the Women's Royal Rumble? The latter.
Man, I really want her to vacate that title. If they don't do that, they're missing out on a huge opportunity.
Yeah, it's the latter. It's her lose. It's her to enter the Women's Rumble or just come up to the main roster.
So they announced next week should be interesting. They got Ember Moon versus Ruby Riott.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't looked at the spoilers for that, though.
Brigadoon. I'm wondering if you'd listened to the second part of Bailey's appearance on the Stone Cold podcast yet. I get the sense that at least some of her current booking issues are stemming from the fact that she doesn't really seem to be in love with the Bailey character anymore. Just interested in your thoughts. I haven't listened to it yet, but I read a little bit about it, that she tried pitching Triple H some changes.
Yeah.
And Triple H said, well, you have to talk to Vince about all that.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And Stone Cold, you know, said, be careful what you do, because after his heel turn,
yeah,
you know, he kind of, from all indications, he kind of regrets doing that.
Yeah. Hey, there's always a caveat that he said, you know, I had fun doing it, but, I mean, you know, from a business standpoint, it probably wasn't the smartest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Shit Twins advocate Alex Carenti asks, how good is William Regal right now? In his opinion, he's the best authority figure in WWE.
He's great.
He's the freaking best.
Nemo, NXT was the first time I saw Bobby Fish. Do you think that new wrestlers losing their debut give the wrong impression to people who are new to them?
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
Nemo, NXT was the last time he saw, or the first time, sorry, he saw Bobby Fish. So he asked, do you think the new wrestlers losing their debut give the wrong impression to people who are new to them?
Hard to argue against that, right? Hard to argue against that.
Yeah.
Guy comes in, starts dominating, you're going to have a different opinion of him than somebody comes in and just gets dropped like
a general,
sack of spuds.
In general, I'll say yeah.
Yeah.
When Bobby Fish came out, he got a decent pop. Put forth a really good effort against Aleister Black, and knowing that Aleister Black is going to be a top of the card guy in the near future,
yeah,
that kind of lessens the impact of Bobby Fish losing his first match, in my mind. There's a lot of context to keep in mind.
I agree.
This specific case,
it's a lot different than.
I'm not that familiar with Bobby Fish's work either. I mean, I think the first time I saw him wrestle was at the WCPW show.
He
was super entertaining.
Oh, he's great. There is obviously a gulf of difference. There's a massive difference between Bobby Fish coming in, who has a track record, and a guy like, what was the name? Bonini?
Mm-hmm.
Him coming in and getting dropped like a sack of spuds to Aleister Black. There's a world of difference there, because one guy is, you know, as they like to say, world travel. They did not mention Ring of Honor. They mentioned New Japan, which is weird. Maybe they understand that they have like a wealth of Ring of Honor talent that they want their hands on, and they don't want to just come off like, hey, we're getting all this Ring of Honor stuff.
I know.
And put them over too much. The point is taken. I think, you know, that Full Sail, I think this is it. The WWE has to understand, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt here. WWE understands that the Full Sail crowd knows Ring of Honor. They know who Bobby Fish is.
Or at least know of him.
So they're going to pop for him, which should give you the indication, oh, this guy is good.
Yeah.
Bonini comes in. Nobody pops for him because nobody knows who he is. He gets dropped. Everybody understands, well, he's a jobber now. That's what happens.
Until they give him a new name.
Until they give him a new name and an actual gimmick. And so I think maybe they understand that when the Full Sail crowd pops for somebody, you should know that they're kind of hot shit regardless of whether they win or lose.
Yes.
But also, if he loses, it's because of what they have in mind for Aleister Black.
Yes.
So I think there's shades of gray there.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Robbie1896, will Aleister Black be in NXT Brooklyn 3, and who will he fight if he is? I'm assuming he's going to be there. I don't know who his opponent's going to be, though.
Did he fought?
He didn't have a match at Chicago, no.
No. I wasn't going to ask that. Has he fought Cian Almas?
Yeah, his first match.
Okay, no, because I was trying to remember. Wrestling Observer Radio was talking about, I think Cian Almas might be taking on Gargano at Brooklyn. That's mm-hmm. what Meltzer was saying anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I forget who he said with Aleister Black, though. I don't know. Eric Young, maybe?
That would be a good choice.
Like, moving him over to Sanity after Drew. But then what's Drew going to do? I don't know. He needs somebody, though.
Yes. And he needs a feud.
He needs an actual feud. He really does. Oh, yeah, Brian Whipple. How gross was Noam Dar's booger? That was the one thing that kind of took me out of the segment. Because it was like thick and white.
Yeah. That's kind of... It was a booger.
And they kept on going to close-up. I wouldn't have noticed if it went to, like, you know, medium close-up or even... They weren't close on it. They were close on it. But when they went to long, you couldn't really notice it that much.
But you knew it was there because they already went close.
Yeah, I know. Still, it was awesome. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
One more question, and then we're out. Ember Moon's weed dealer says, I just realized everyone in Sanity is not American. Do you think when they get called up, Vince would repackage them as an anti-American stable? Probably not. I don't think
so. Their gimmick is already so well defined.
Yeah, they're super polished. So I don't really see that happening.
No.
I think the whole, you know, anarchy, chaos thing, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Is probably they're just going to keep with that direction. Guys who,
you know, want to create chaos.
Exactly, yeah. You got anything else going on over there?
We'll do this one more as another Sandy question. Okay. Super Nerdy Sama. It looks like Sandy is in a weird limbo in regards to starting a mini feud with McIntyre and a tag team feud with Authors of Pain. Do you feel this tweener role will be where they find their success? And also he asked, where is Eric Young? I think it was his mother passed away recently.
There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of things they can do with Sanity. There's a lot of combinations there they can use. Eric Young, obviously, singles dominant wrestler. Damo, mm-hmm. singles dominant wrestler. Mm-hmm. And then you can tag any number of those guys up together. And, of course, Nikki Cross. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's a matter of them. It's NXT, so I feel like they do have a solid idea as to what the direction they're going in is.
Yeah.
If this kind of booking was happening on the main roster, I would be more apt to say, yeah, they have no idea what they're doing with them.
Well, also, I think Sanity can just kind of exist above heel face mm-hmm. if they have a plan.
Yeah,
and that plan includes dominating NXT by having all the belts, and that's the plan.
Yeah,
regardless who has them,
you just don't want to start entering into Wyatt territory.
Oh, I know.
He's just losing all the time.
I know.
You know? But then I'm not sure if Eric Young, they might have main event plans for Damo. I don't know. They might view Damo as kind of another Braun Strowman, not monster Frankenstein monster like Braun Strowman, but the same kind of dominant guy.
Yeah.
I could see them having plans for Damo in that respect, the same way Braun was in the Wyatt family. But I don't know if they have main event plans for Eric Young, for example.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just think he's going to be a troublemaker.
Yeah.
You know, for good or bad. Anyways.
Anyways.
That's it for the show. Patrons, stick around, and you can tell us what to do for lunch. I'll probably just eat here. I don't know. Oh, you didn't get anything. You didn't bring anything, did you?
I didn't bring an entree.
Okay.
I brought a side.
Very good. So we'll figure that out. And thanks for watching. Tomorrow we got the dirt sheet.
Yep.
And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.